I was glad when they said to me, let us go and watch rugby on Sunday. No? I was glad when they said to me, let's go shopping. No? I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord to worship and to praise Him. Hallelujah. That's your rightful place on Sunday mornings. God requires you and I to be found in the house of God to worship, to praise, and to fellowship together. Amen? Amen? That builds our faith, that builds our relationship, that builds unity inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's why prioritize your life on Sundays. God, doesn't matter what day you worship, we are gathered here on Sunday, and that's what we do. Praise the Lord. Don't make a big religious statement out of that. We are kingdom people. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's all about the kingdom of God. I want to welcome all our visitors this morning. I've seen some beautiful new faces here this morning. And most of you are part of the furniture. But if you're visiting us this morning, please wave your hands to me and praise the Lord. Give him. Yeah, come on, we can do better than that. Give him a nice living light. Amen. That's better. Praise God. We welcome you, my brother, and all my sisters that are here this morning. Digby's better half is here this morning as well. So if you think Digby was the good half, no. He's not complete. Now he's complete. Hallelujah. Praise God. Those who are watching this morning on live stream, we welcome you as well. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless thanking you. We give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. Lord, for you're worthy of all that. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word to transform the hearts of men. God, I pray this morning that you hide me, as you've always done. Hide me from the people, God. That they hear your voice and your voice alone, your word. For you said, God, Jesus, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God, it's about not just hearing. It's about knowing. It's about understanding. It's about wisdom. It's about seeking truth, oh God. And Father, I thank you that those who have ears will hear. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your glory that rests upon this place today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, oh God. I pray you watch over your word to fulfill it in our lives, that it will not come back void, oh God, that it will not drop to the ground, Father God, but it will accomplish every purpose that you have for your word. Lord, it is for your sake that we walk in that place of holiness and righteousness. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. Now, where's all our youths? Are they here? I want you to all stand, please. I want all those ones upstairs also to come down. I was really blessed with these kids, our young people. I think I got ministered more from them than I got from anything else. Because we seem to take for granted their ministry. You know, we try to label the ministry as just entertainment. But you got to understand one thing. God is going to use their gifts and their skills. God said to Moses, what have you got in your hands? He says, just a piece of stick. Good, I'll use that. God said to Samson, what have you got in your hands? He goes, a jawbone. Good, I'll use that. And God will use whatever that he has planted and the gifts that is inside those children. And you see the real colors when come out when we are out in crusades like that. I want you to come up to the front. I want you to stand before your parents this morning. And our parents, I thank you for releasing your children. Thank you for trusting them into our hands and the hands of God. I was ministered by these to more from these children than anything else. Hallelujah. Their ministry, I wept through the whole process of the crusade, the whole time I was there. just from watching them minister, from their dances, from their skits. You know, without even speaking a word, God used their talents and their gifts to touch the lives of people in Upernum. And people came to Christ because of these vessels that God used. So we should never underestimate their ministry. Hallelujah. There is a very great unity amongst these children right now. I saw a unity that I've not seen ever in this church ever before when these kids were together. When they went out. You see, my reason for bringing them out is so that they experience God themselves. This is a generation that needs to experience God. We cannot keep telling them about God. They need to experience it. They need to feel the presence of God. They need to feel the anointing of God. And they felt it on the day. The 3 days they ministered, God used them like arrowhead. Hallelujah. I was so blessed. I wept through the whole thing. And, you know, for them to get up in the morning, to come for prayer meetings in the morning. Are you listening, children? You have no excuse whatsoever now to come to prayer meetings on Saturday mornings. Hallelujah. You are the ones that are going to wake your mother up and say, Mom, drop me off at prayer meeting. Yes. Dad, drop me off at prayer meeting. Yes. Parents, I warn you. You will get some correction from your children. And it's going to come from the Spirit. Yes. And if they get it, you and I are going to be in big trouble. Amen. So encourage them. Bring them for prayer. They already know how to pray. They've been coming to prayer meetings for the last 3 days, getting up at 6 o'clock, getting ready for prayer at 7 o'clock. Hallelujah. And then we released them on Sunday, and they went, now we can sleep in. No, you cannot sleep in. But I want you to see them. And then at the end of the, during altar ministry, I will pray for them because it's also the first day of school coming up on Monday. So praise the Lord for our children. Hallelujah. Give them a big hand. They deserve a big hand. Praise God. You can sit down now. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you before the end of the service today. There's only half of them here. We went up with 44 people. 44 from this church plus Pastor Natani. And his family, 9 cars, 9 drivers, 8 families ministering. That's mother, father, and children ministering together. That's what I call a church. Hallelujah. We're here to warm pews and sit down and listen to the word. We're here to become ministers of the gospel. And that's what we do it alone or we do it with the family. You know, when I came back, I said, I should be doing this more. Hallelujah. Preaching to the unsaved. Seeing the power of God move in their lives and seeing the transformation happening in their hearts. Hallelujah. My message this morning is simply called 5 loaves and 2 fish. I was asking God, what is it that I need to speak of? And it's all about what we've seen down in Napronum. And he said, tell them about the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And that's the title of this message, but the whole principle of it is on missions. Is on going out and preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And trusting God in faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. First scripture of this morning. It says, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Verse 24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, amen, and it will be yours. Hallelujah. And before I go on, I want to say thank you to Joy. Thank you to our Pastor Janet and the team that stayed behind, prayed for us, continues for the last 3 days, holding the fort and praying constantly for us. Praise God. Praise God for your prayers. Hallelujah. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for us. Pray for your children. I'm going to take them out more for ministry. Praise God. Friends, I want to say to you this morning, having a foundational faith that God exists, it's easy for us. Amen? A foundational faith brings you to church. Amen. It sits you in the pulpit, sits you on the pew, listening to the word of God. That's a foundational faith that you cannot take away. But having a functional faith, that's where we have a problem. A functional faith to believe that God can do it. You know, it is impossible. But in God's eyes, it is never impossible. You know, when I see the rains and the clouds coming in during the Crusades, and I encourage the children, I said, don't look at the physical side of things. Look at the spirit. Look into the spirit of what God is about to do. See, having a functional faith that God can and will do the impossible is not easy. And yet God demands that from you and I. That we have faith. But not only have faith, but we have faith with action. A functional faith. A faith that actually works. Not just the foundational faith. When you come to Christ, you have a foundational faith. That's able to identify you from others around you. But it's the functional faith that God wants for the church. Functional faith is a faith that requires what? Movement, action. Get it done. Hear the word, get it done. Don't just sit on the word, get it done. Hallelujah. It's the actual playing the part of what you hear. God uses our faith so that he can move us into action into ways that can bring glory to him. Hallelujah. Strong faith, like I said, is like a muscle. If you go to the gym and pump iron all your life, then pump some faith in you. Do the same thing that you do at the gym the way you do with your prayer life. Your faith is built up when you attend prayer meetings. Your faith is built up when you attend church. Your faith is built up when you're fellowshipping with one another. Amen? Iron sharpens iron. You strengthen one another together and build your faith. It's like a muscle. If you don't work on that muscle, the muscle will lay dormant forever unless you work on it. Amen. And so who wants to take a risk when they don't have to? Many people don't want to take risk in church. Why do we have to take a risk when we can go out and do things on our own strength? But my friends, there comes a time when your own strength will not work, when your own strength will not bring to you what you are requiring for your life. You know, this is the devil's sales pitch to the church. You can do it yourself. Don't worry, you can do it yourself. Knowledge and understanding, you've got it. You've got skills, you can do it. But there comes a time where we must believe for God to move in the things of the Spirit. There are mistakes made along the journey as we mishear God, get ahead of his timing, manipulate our circumstances, put him to test, never put God to test, or shrink back into fear and doubt. That's the normalcy inside the church when faith doesn't work. As we focus on the circumstances rather than God. You know, I said to the people up there, turn your TVs off. The same way I tell you today. Turn your televisions off. Listen to the voice of God. Because that's the only voice that will take you through any season, whatever the enemy brings before us. You know, every single blessing in my life, my friends, it comes from the promises that God has given me. Amen. It comes from just trusting him. Amen. Trusting him, regardless of what. Trusting him, even when the bank balance is zero. I have a saying, your zero is actually an unknown number anyway. It's a number, but it's unknown until you put something to it and it becomes a number. Zero, put one, hey, that's $10. Hallelujah. Praise God. So zero, if you do binary in school, it's called an unknown number. So zero is still a number. I used to get tests sent to me and I get zero on my test and I go, hey, it's still a number. If they didn't write anything on the paper, then I worry. But they put a zero, that's a number. Praise the Lord. We used to have speed tests in the church. At school, and my maths teacher is an Irish guy, and he's a professor of mathematics, and he'll give us this speed test, and it's about 10 questions, and I get them all wrong every time because you got to do them in a couple of seconds, and a couple of us sitting in the same row, we'll all get zero, and we go, yeah, you know what? You told us that the zero is an unknown number, so we still have a number. He used to, I don't know, you not cases. You know, my friends, every single blessing comes from us trusting God. We don't get this kind of faith overnight. It is not a faith that you just get overnight, you sleep and you get up and, ooh, I got faith. This kind of faith you build up every day of your life, hallelujah. And then those who don't have that, don't look down on them. Encourage them. Stand with them and say, hey, listen, I went through the same situation as you. Every one of us have gone through the same things in life, the same problems we have in life. Amen? There is a great risk in trusting God. Hello, somebody. There's a risk in trusting God. But the rewards of the faith that comes from trusting God is amazing. Hallelujah. You know, there is no joy from seeing God blessing you because you trust Him and not on your own strength. I see no acts of faith in the Bible that require a risk or didn't require a risk. Every man and woman in this book took risks in their life to see God move. You know, God has given you the capacity for faith, and you must exercise it through what? Through action. Functional faith, as it leads, not by putting God to test. We never put God to test. Amen? Are you listening to me this morning? Because a lot of people like to do that. But God is not about testing you. God allows you to go through things to come out stronger than you were before. Amen. Faith with action says we believe God is telling the truth and we can trust Him. That's faith. That's functional faith. Amen. But faith without action is telling God that He's a liar and we don't believe in Him and we're going to do things on our own strength. When you do that, you know that there is not something in your life that has to be corrected. That you need to trust God no matter what. Hallelujah. Inaction says we believe God is a liar and cannot be trusted. This is why we can't please Him without faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, it says, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. That's God talking to us. I like God the way He talks. He commands us. Why? Because He knows He's with us. He knows that whatever He says, He'll do. But we just need to stand in faith and go out and do it. Hallelujah. You know, we had a great word that came from one of the pastors. And I just wanted to share this quickly with you, because that's part of what I'm actually going to share this morning. And you read the Bible. You read when Jesus went to the wedding. It was one of His first miracles that He's ever done. And during the wedding, the wine ran out, and there was His disciples and the master of the party all panicking and saying, you know what, the wine's running out, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, well, collect all those pitchers of water, bring them to Me. And this is so powerful. It's actually the action of doing what God commands us to do. And the Bible says, He poured water into these pitchers. And He didn't tell us it was wine. He didn't tell us that it changed into wine the moment He did it. The process of water turning into wine happened when He said, now take these pitchers of water to the master of the wedding. Imagine that, if you're standing there looking at the water going, you're telling me to take water to this guy? They just ran out of wine. They needed wine, not water. But Jesus said, take this water. Take it. Take it to them. And in the process of working from where Jesus is to the master of the body, the water turned into wine. And it was the best wine in the house. Now, that's a process of faith. Everything we do, we have to do it. It can look silly in our eyes. It can look stupid in the eyes of men. But in God's eyes, God's waiting for you to do some silly things in faith. And that's the process of going from the place where Jesus was to bringing of the water pitcher to the master of the wedding. And the Bible says, then He had the best wine of the house. See, it's the functional faith. It's the faith of getting up and doing it regardless of how bleak and how dark and how silly and how foolish we're going to look before men. Hallelujah. God is into silliness and foolishness. He uses that to transform the hearts of men. Hallelujah. You know, to know all these children coming to minister, it was one of the most powerful signs I've ever seen of children actually ministering. And I believe that if we continue to use them like that, we continue to encourage them like that, to be part of something that they can truly experience God, then their generation is in good hands, because we've allowed them to experience God themselves. We cannot keep telling them about God. We got to bring them and say, now experience God yourself. And God operates totally different in a church than a crusade settings. The setting out there, God operates differently. And I said to the children, I said, it's not you doing it. It's the God in you that's doing it. So go out there and just do what God has given you gifts to do. And they were just doing it with passion. And I was like, I dry eyed. I was not no one dry in the house for me. I stood there weeping, looking at these young children ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ through their dances and their skits and all the things that they do in the youth services. And I thank God for Pastor Jason and Grace and, Jerry and Helen and all the team that look after them and took care of them and make sure that they're okay. They were fed well. They ate 3 meals a day. They're so spoiled. My goodness. You know what? And when we were ready to leave, none of them wanted to leave. They wanted to stay another day. I said, hey, hang on a minute. We promised your mothers and your fathers we're taking you back on Monday. That's why you're going back on Monday. But if I had my way, they'll stay for a week. Because they didn't want to leave. They were in the presence of God. When you're inside the presence of God, why would you want to leave? Praise the Lord. And that's why I said, create this kind of environment inside the church. We can do it right here. Praise the Lord. To know God in the scripture always went beyond information to intimacy. Not just information. The faith of the scripture is a very mystical faith. It leads us beyond the material world and into an invisible reality. Amen. That's the kind of faith that God Amen. Gives us. Hallelujah. It comes out of that system of the world and it goes into that invisible reality that people don't see except you and I. Hallelujah. It leads us beyond the material world. We become connected to God, and that is the God of eternity. Hallelujah. Who are you at the core of the Spirit? God is Spirit. To walk with God is to walk in the spiritual realm. We cannot walk with God in flesh. That's why Jesus said, walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The world operates in flesh, but we operate in the Spirit. Why? Because the core of us are Spirit. Every one of us who follow Jesus Christ is called to live the same way. Amen. Hello, somebody. Amen. Every one of us, not somebody else, live a different way from each other. Every one of us sitting in this room today, when you receive Christ in your life, you are called to walk the same way. Amen. For the early disciples, Jesus was right there with them. They spoke with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They did everything physically with him. But for you and I, hallelujah, we need to learn to tune in to hear the inaudible voice of God. We need to tune in to hear the voice of God every time. We need to tune in to see the invisible and hear the inaudible voices of God. That's you and I. We're gifted with the Spirit of God to be able to do that. That's why I said it is beneficial for you that I go away. Why? Because you may go out and preach the gospel that I didn't call you to preach. You may go out and start up a church that I didn't call you to start. You may go out and start a ministry that I didn't call you to start. Many of us go and do something that we are not called to do. Then we find it that we can go through it. God didn't call us to go and do that. That's why we have to tune in to hear what God is saying, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, you cannot meet this Creator God and still remain the same. It is impossible for you to meet God, seriously meet God, and still remain the same. You know, I shared my testimony in Napanum. Blew the minds of the people away. Because you didn't want to know me. My old self, you never and would not want to know me. Praise the Lord. But the power of the change that comes from the Holy Ghost transformed me. I didn't get that from no psychologists, no doctors, no teachers, not pastors, no priest. It is from the Holy Spirit himself. Hallelujah. That's why when you meet God, the all-knowing, powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth, it is impossible for you to be able to stay the same. I think there is a problem when people talk about meeting God or knowing God and still remain unchanged. Wow. Don't talk about God when you're still not changed. You know, we're big on integrity in this church. Integrity and walking right before God is important for this church beyond anything else. I don't care how powerful you are in ministry. If your fruit doesn't match your mouth, it doesn't work. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. You can have the most powerful ministry in the world, healing and eyes opening and devil running away from people. But if you don't have the fruits of the Holy Ghost, it's a waste of time. Praise the Lord. There is a problem if we speak about God and we don't act like God. When the Creator chooses to dwell in His creation, there is a transformation. It happens. And you and I, praise God, we are the most amazing miracles that man could ever see. My father was shocked when he heard I was changed. His first question was, who changed him? My mom said, God did. Because my father was still a Catholic. And my mother had already flowed in the spirit, see? So my dad had no choice but to follow my mother. He was strong for a while, you know, I'll die a Catholic. I'm born a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic. We're the real church, we're the true church. And then God came up and kapow! And that's exactly what I used to say to you. I'm a Catholic. You know, I used to say, oh, what have I done wrong? You know, I didn't kill anybody. Yeah, I've never robbed a bank or a service station like some people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But God says, no, his problem with me was that it wasn't that I was a bad person. The problem with him and I was that I was lost. I was dead. I was going to hell. And I needed a Savior. Hallelujah. And that's the same problem. That's God's argument with you and I, is that we need a Savior. Not that we're bad people. Praise God. So you were not created to be normal, my friends. Hey, somebody. When you came to Christ, you are not normal. You should be out of step with the things of the world and in all total line alignment with the things of God. Spirit-filled, then you have been baptized by the fire and you should not comply or conform to the things of this world. Hallelujah. You should be out of step with everything that the world throws at you and be in total alignment with God. Hallelujah. Young people, listen to me. Are you listening to me? Every one of you shouted, yes, Pastor, we're listening. Praise God. Listening. When you come to church, listen. God is speaking to you. Amen? Your experience with God is going to be not with your mother and your father. It's you and you alone. Your walk with God is not with you and your mother or your father. It's you and you alone. Hallelujah. God is going to deal with you and walk with you. Your mother and the father are not going to hold your hand. Every one of us is going to walk our own path. And that's why you must listen to what God is saying this morning. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 40 is a powerful scripture. Verse 34 to 38. The Bible says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of the meeting because the cloud rested above it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's the glory, the presence of God that come down. Hallelujah. It was like this morning. I was in tears all through the worship. Praise the Lord. Verse 36 says, and whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. Hallelujah. But if the cloud was not taken up, and they did not journey till the day that it was taken up, for the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Hallelujah. That was the presence of God moving with the people. And they're hearing God. We are not here, my friends, to build shelters and invite God to be with us in the shelter. Hallelujah. No, we are faith people. We move with God. Wherever He goes, we move. God wants to move, but we don't want to move with Him. That's our problem. God wants to go out and preach the gospel. God wants to go out and do all that stuff. We don't want to move. We want a shelter to come and sit and bring God to us. That was not how God was working. God is in you. God is in you, and He needs you to get up and have a functional faith to move and walk and get out of your comfort zones to go and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Whether it's in your workplace, your neighbor, your house, your friends, that's what God requires of you. We don't build shelters and invite into a shelter. God doesn't belong to a box and into a house. You are the house. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the one that carries His presence everywhere you go. And when He wants to move, you move with Him. Oh, hallelujah. That's the kind of God you and I serve. We don't build houses and expect Him to live inside shelters. Read this book. It is filled with irrational people. What would Moses doing standing there pointing that stick at the Red Sea? You were standing there going, what is wrong with this guy? What is he doing standing there going like that? If the world sees it, they're going, look at that fool. Amen? What did Elijah doing calling on fire? He's never done that before. He called on fire once. Oh, praise God. Once. He's never had, God never gave him practice. Go and practice, and when you get it right, then the fire will come. That's functional faith, my friends. That's what happens when you are God. Even though I'm going to look foolish in front of people, I'm just going to do it because you know why? I heard you correctly. Amen. People come to say to me, oh, you know, God asked me to go and build this church. So I said, really? Did you hear carefully? Have you heard from God? You know, everybody wants to put God before everything else. People come to see me and say, oh, God called me to go there. God told me to go there. See, when you put God before me, you come to have a conversation with me and you say, God told me, then I got no. If God told you, then I'll step back and say, oh, God told you. I'm careful when it comes to things like that. I have to hear properly from God first before I can make decisions in my life. Hallelujah. What was David doing swinging his slingshots before Goliath? What was he thinking? He was standing there like that. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. He wasn't thinking he was going to miss. What was he thinking? Just imagine those guys. If they were here now in this modern day, we would call them fools. Look at these silly guys. What is Moses doing pointing his, standing at the lagoon, pointing at the sea out there? If you do that in front of people, then they'll tell you you're silly. But God never gave us practice. He said, go and do it. Praise God. If you're here, then go and do it. Those people did not live normal lives, my friends. They were not normal people. They didn't live normal lives. They lived lives that is so connected to God that they were out of step with the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But God was in it all the time. See, if you took God out of that, then they would really look foolish. But God was in it all the time. Everything they did, God was involved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I'm ready to go and preach and I'm thinking, God, you got to do something. You got to come good. Otherwise, it's not going to work. When you hear that God wants to speak something and you're thinking, do I need to say this or this? You know, I'm juggling between sermons and messages and God says, this one. And that's how you start to hear God's voice clearly. All these people had an encounter with God. For all of us to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave us, we need to have that encounter. That's why I took the children out to those places so that they can have an encounter with God. Hallelujah. Number two, we have to be God taught. Not Bible college taught, my friends. That's a different thing altogether. If you're learning from Bible college, praise God for you. But it's time you start to be taught by God. But the Spirit of the living God that comes from the place of prayer. I encourage you, those who have come to crusades, up to the crusade, don't come down here and slacken out again. Don't just be up there and go, no, I could do it because I'm here. No, when you come back here, Saturday morning prayer meeting. Praise God. Challenge yourself. Don't just do it because, oh, we're all going up in a group and then when we come down here, we can just go back to our usual life again. There's no usual life in God. The life you live up there on the Christian night is the same life you live down here. On fire for God. 24 hours a day. 48 hours. Hallelujah. Standing up and saying, I'm going for prayer. There's a call for prayer. Praise the Lord. We have to be God moved. Moved by God. Not moved by man. Everything you do is going to be God moving you. Not me moving you. I don't have to stand here and tell you to come for prayer. You get moved by God. Amen. You get challenged by God. Amen. Hallelujah. When you do that, the church will stop being an institution and become a lively fire for God. We have to be God inspired. Inspired by God. Get him inspired. Get him to inspire you. And taught by God. Hallelujah. You know, at Pentecost, God unleashed the Spirit upon all who would declare the name of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, a new firebrand tribe was born. It wasn't called AOG or COC or KGB or FBI or all these titles that you want to put. That firebrand tribe wasn't called that. That firebrand tribe were the followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. They were the ones that were on fire for God. They had the Holy Ghost inside of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the spirit tribe that God birthed from the day of Pentecost. And to all who believe his son, the Lord declares, I will be their God and they will be my people. Hallelujah. These people will bear the evidence of his spirit. They would be God taught, God moved, and God inspired. Hallelujah. That's what we want from the church. That's what we want from each and every person that comes to this fellowship. Hallelujah. Because if you die in the spirit, then this church becomes an institution. Ponder that for a minute. Pause and salah on this statement. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 to 34. Says, the Lord declares, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law. What? Law into their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. And he says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all know shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Your experience with God comes from God himself. I don't have to tell you to know God. Your parents don't have to tell you to know God, children. Your mother don't have to tell you to know God. You know God yourself. You go seeking God yourself. Hallelujah. You get hungry after the things of God. The Bible says, blessed are those who are poor in the spirit, for they shall be filled. God is waiting to fill you up as soon as you get hungry. You're hungry for the spirit and you're hungry for righteousness. Should be the same as you're hungry for water and food. If you're hungry for water and food, that same hunger should be for the spirit of God. It should be for the things of God. Hallelujah. The Bible is full of stories of men and women who had God speak and acted as if hearing him was normal. Oh, hello, somebody. They acted and speak like it was normal to hear from God. Praise God. To be taught by God is the evidence that you have entered into a covenant ushered in by Jesus Christ. When you're hearing from God, you know you are covenant with him. Hallelujah. To study the Bible is more important. But it is not the primal evidence that you belong to God. Everyone can study this book. But if this book doesn't cause you to have a functional faith in you, then it's a waste of time. Praise the Lord. Studying the Bible doesn't change you. Everyone can study the Bible. But only those who know him and hear him, they are the ones that will make changes inside you. The kingdom of God. Jesus expected that those who were his followers would hear his voice, know his voice, and follow only his voice. Hallelujah. There are many who are in the church or have grown up in church who have effectively been what? Christianized. There's so many Christianized people inside the kingdom of God. God doesn't want you to be labeled as a Christian. When people ask you, children, listen to me. If you go to school and they say, are you a Christian? You say, no, I'm not. And they go like that. You say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I follow God. I follow Jesus. Because that Christianity is a name that covers everything. And we come to church so Christianized by this word. But God separates us from those who are just Christians. Yes. It's those who have the Spirit of God inside of them. Yes. That are separated from everybody else. Amen. Hallelujah. The moment we give our hearts to Jesus, we become what? Citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. We become aliens, hallelujah. We're peculiar people. Yes. We're weird. Hallelujah. People should look at us and go, yeah, well, according to your standard, I'm weird. But it's normal for me. And we should be in sync with the story of God and totally out of sync with the story of this world. Inspired by God. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. And he says, I shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. You old men having dreams yet? All right, pray more. Your young men shall see visions. And verse 29 says, and also on my manservant and on my maidservant, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God's ultimate end for our transformation is to unleash that raw faith within us, that it becomes a foundational faith. From foundational faith, it becomes a functional faith. We start to operate. When His Spirit is poured out, we are inspired to an extraordinary level. Things that we're doing there is extraordinary. When you preach, it's extraordinary. When you share, it's extraordinary. Hallelujah. When you minister in any department in your ministry, it's extraordinary. It's not normal. My friends, you know, my testimony when the Holy Spirit came, it was totally a total change. And I shared this at Napronum. I said, there was a transformation that happened inside of me that someone that used to live there left and someone new came in. There was a transformation that happened, literally. And the first thing that happened to me is that my tongue changed. I cannot swear words that I used to say. Because every same word that comes is always a curse or a swear word or a normal language that everyone. And the first thing that goes was that. And I realized I wasn't the same. I thought something's happened to me. A transformation happened. But I didn't quite figure out what it was. And what God did was my spirit was different. I couldn't fit into the old way of things anymore. I even went to the show that I was going to do. I was going to play for a jazz band that night. And I walked up to this place, parked my car, looked at that place, and I'm thinking, I don't belong there anymore. My spirit just couldn't connect. And I knew something was up with me. That has never happened to me ever in my life. You show me alcohol and drugs, I'm straight in there. But that day, that night, I stood there and I'm thinking, I am not the same. Something's not right with me. So I turned my car around and I went back to the house where all the guys were, and they were having a home group fellowship. And they saw me turn up and they said, what happened? This guy's supposed to be having a gig tonight. He's not, he's driven in. I walked in and I said, I have some questions for you guys. And they're looking at me like, what's going on? I said, I didn't feel right there. What is it? What's happened to me? You know, the transformation happened in one weekend. Friday, I finished a big whiskey bottle. Saturday, I was saved. Just like that. When I came back, all these things doesn't connect with me anymore. And I said to these guys, I said, you guys need to tell me what happened to me. Someone please explain, as Pauline Hanson would always say, please explain. Please explain to me what I'm going through. And one of the brothers got up and he said, did you say a prayer? I said, what prayer? I was at this crusade and there was like 50,000 prayers going on. Which one, please? Be specific on which prayer that I should pray. And he said, the prayer of salvation. And I said, yeah, I said that. I said this prayer on the drums, playing drums. I was the only unsafe person in this music ministry. And they said, that's it. I said, that's what? You're saved. You've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking, wow, is that it? You know, my wife knew. When I came back, she knew what had happened to me. Because she's gone through that experience. She gave out to the Lord in high school. I was just a rowdy Catholic boy. And then when I transformed, she knew something had happened to me. Hallelujah. But you see, that differentiates you and I. That differentiates us from other people around us. If you're born again and your tongue is not born again, then the fruit is rotten. Hello, somebody. There's rotten fruit into your entire life that needs to be corrected. You need some fertilizer called the Holy Ghost. to give it some more good fertilizer so that the fruit becomes what the Spirit of God wants. Nice fruit. Not a coconut growing on a mango tree. If a coconut is growing a mango tree, you know you don't have this fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. Hello, somebody. Praise God. When we fear God and God only, we are no longer bounded by all the other fears that would hold us captive. Fear of death gone, fear of failure gone, fear of rejection gone, fear of insignificance gone. All these things are gone from your life when you have one fear, and that is the fear of God. Hallelujah. That brings in wisdom, the Bible tells me. My friends, I want to close by saying this. We have a clear vision for this church. We have a clear-cut mandate to work with the local churches around the Cape. We are not here to plant churches. That's not our call. Our call is to create the fire inside us. That's why you hear me talk like that all the time. You think I'm playing around? I've seen the fire of God happen when the people are passionate and hungry for God inside the church. It can be created in here, inside this church. Amen. If we are hungry for it. If we are hungry for the Spirit, we can create revival in here, right here. In this humble little building, 171 Lake Street. You can create it here. And when we create it, we take it out. And we light the fires in the local churches. You know, those little churches and the people up there, they're not the same anymore. Because something has happened inside their lives. That's what we do. We're not about building churches and planting churches and raising up missionaries and all that stuff. Listen to me. The day of raising up Bible college graduates, it's gone. There is no time to sending people to Bible college to study for 4 years. That's gone. God needs whatever you skill you have in you right now. Whatever skill you have, that's what God needs. Time for Bible college is gone. It's time for the Spirit of God now to move. And if we're hungry for the Spirit of God, we will see changes. I'm talking like this because I am an evidence. I am a key evidence of the power of the Holy Ghost that happened inside the building, inside the church. If we're hungry, my friends, and I keep going back to the word, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. He's not talking about pouring material goods. He's saying pour in the Spirit. If you pour in the Spirit, he said, you shall be filled. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed are those that hunger for righteousness. Yes. He said, they shall be filled. God is waiting for us to be filled. We just need to be hungry for these things. Discipline ourselves to get up and say, I'm going, no matter what. You know, wake your husband up, your wife up, kick them. Come on, go, let's go. Praise God. My wife used to get up and say, hey, the windows are praying. Where's the foundation? You know why? Because I brought the message on foundation on the man. Man should be leading prayer. Man should be doing all this stuff. Because why? Man are foundation of the building. Foundation of the family. Hallelujah. You know, people don't have to look at you and say, oh, you know, people look at you and look at your children and they know that the foundation is strong. Hallelujah. And I give that example. If the building inspector comes in here and the window's broken and all these other stuff's broken, they're not going to condemn the building. Because the foundation of the building is really strong. Praise God. Jesus. And men, all the men in the house say, amen, Pastor. Amen. Men, hallelujah. Men. If you don't have a womb, you're a man. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. If you have a womb, you're a woman. Differentiate that now, today. Make the choice now. Don't get confused down the line. Praise God, hallelujah. And when you have that, when the foundation is strong, they will not destroy the house. Hallelujah. They will not destroy it and build it from up because the foundation has to be strong. Yes. And my wife used to get up and say, come on, the windows are praying. Where's all the foundation? We used to get up and say, well, come on, foundation, get up. Yeah. Get up and pray. Yes. Praise the Lord. So your wives, when you get up, kick your husband and say, hey, the windows and the doors are praying. What's going on with the foundation? You know, only that challenged me. You know, that came out of my own mouth in the preaching. So when Judy got up and said, hey, the windows are praying, I'm saying, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for our wives. Amen. All the men, you should appreciate your wives because they work with the Holy Spirit. Now, sitting with Pastor Tevita and Judith wanted to go home, and I'm enjoying fellowship, and I'm thinking, you know, I have another coffee, and she's standing there, I think we should be going home soon. And the pastor looked at me and says, you know, it is good to hear the Holy Ghost. I said, oh. So I went, yeah, it is good, bro. It is true. So I went home. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we can create it, my friends. When the church becomes an institution, people are nothing more than volunteers inside the church. I don't want you to become a volunteer inside the church. That's what they do in institutions. You are a living organization, our organism. You are a church. Praise God. Not this building. You are. You are the church. And when the church is a movement, our stewardship becomes the unleashing of our God-given gifts, talents, and passion. Hallelujah. I'm talking like this because of what I saw the children do. I don't want this church to become another institution, that we have to become a movement. The movement of the fire of God must start in our hearts inside this church. Amen. The same radical movement that Jesus started with only 12 insignificant men. All of them God taught, God moved, and God inspired. They changed the world. Hallelujah. They were right with Jesus. And you and I were given the Holy Ghost. He's still with us. We sing that He's with us and He's all that. We don't have to invite Him to come. Please listen to me. Stop inviting God to come. If He already lives in you, don't have to invite Him. Hallelujah. Don't pray, oh, Holy Ghost, we invite you now. No. He lives in you. If you don't have Him, then you pray that kind of prayer. Invite Him into your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's here. All we're asking for is His presence and His power. His anointing to come. That's what we want. Not Him. He already lives in us. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11 says what? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells where? In a building? Inside a car? In a donkey? No, in you. Bodily. Hallelujah. Therefore, the same Spirit will give what? Life, and life abundantly. Hallelujah. My friends, I want to say this. Bring your 5 loaves of bread and your 2 fish. And let the Lord of the harvest multiply that in your life. That's all you need to do. Just bring your 5 loaves and your 2 fish. And that's the title of this message this morning. It's the title of that word that I've given you. Bring your 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all you need to do. He's the one that's going to multiply it. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's going to do that. And all we have to do is say, hey, this is only, there's 5 loaves here and 2 fish. Can you do something with that? Of course He will. Praise God. He did it with Moses. He did it with Samson. He did it with David. David collected 5 stones and only used 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. My last scripture. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. I'm done. Done with what God wanted me to speak to the church this morning. Praise God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your people. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that whatever You've spoken to us this morning, Lord, let it sit inside. And Father, I pray that it will bear much fruit. And Lord, not only that, that we will become people that are God-taught, God-inspired, and we will hear Your voice, Father God. And Father, whatever has been released now through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that not one person in this building leave this building right now the same as they have come in. Lord, I just thank You for Your word. Hallelujah. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, Lord, to start to manifest, oh God, that word. Start to cause this word to come alive, Lord, inside the lives of Your people today. Lord, every man, every woman, and every children of God. So that we stand together, Lord, to accomplish the vision and the purpose that You have given us as a church. That we become the light, Lord, because the light lives in us. That we are a living light, because the living light lives in us. Father, I thank You. I pray Your blessing, Lord, upon the people, Father, today. Thank You, Jesus. If you want to be prayed for, if you've got something that you need prayer for, The altar is open. We're going to give some time for the Holy Spirit to do his work, but after that we will close. Father, I'll just pray a blessing over you. Father, I pray your blessing over the people. Lord, that your word now has transformed their hearts and their minds. Thank you, Lord, for the innermost part of their life, which is the heart, that will receive this word and allow it to grow. Holy Ghost, water that word, O God. Water that word till it grow up to bear much great fruit inside this church. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship God for a few minutes, and then we will close. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you've just been coming to church, you've been Christianized. The kingdom of God is not about Christianized people. The kingdom of God is about followers of Jesus Christ. Those who have the Spirit of God. Those who are born again, transformed by the Spirit. If you've never made the decision in your life, this morning, I offer this opportunity to you to receive Jesus. Receive His Spirit. Hallelujah. And I assume that all of you have the Spirit of God living in you. Amen? Very quiet. Do you have the Spirit of God living in you or no? Because if you don't, we can fix it. It's a quick fix. Easy, done. Praise the Lord. All done by faith. All done by your confession of your mouth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship Him. If you need some prayer, come. If this is a refreshing touch in your life, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Or poor in the spirit. You know, you don't come to this altar for me. You don't come to this altar for men. You come to this altar for God. That's one thing you have to understand. That it is not about me. I cannot change you. It's God that will do it. By the step of faith that you take. To come forward before God. I'll just lay hands on you and pray. And God will do the miracle, change, signs and wonders, transformation. That's His job. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Timothy.